said this morning, he said, every week you just start up those ladders or up the stairs, you just go faster and faster. He says, you're getting better. And then I appreciate that. And then Melissa the other day, she knows something about health issues, and she says, you will get better. And I said, why is that? She says, because you're a fighter. You're a fighter, and you will fight to get better. Now, may your prophecy come true. Amen. What and who you have as first place in your lives this year will greatly determine if you have a great year or you have a bad year. I mean to tell you plainly, I don't want there to be any misunderstanding about it. If you want to have a great year and a year which shall be reflected positively even into the future, on into eternity, what and who you put first in your lives will greatly determine if you have a great year or you have a bad year in 2026. The Bible declares this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the Lord's day. The first day of the week is the Lord's day. And this is the first Lord's day of 2026. And it's important. It's important that we acknowledge that this is the first Lord's Day, and first days are important. And so we see even the very God of creation made a clarification for Moses back in Genesis 1:1-5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Whatever you would like to say about 2025 or the last Sunday of 2025, it's not the first Lord's Day of this new year. God on the first day divided light from darkness. So a contrast by God was made. Now a contrast is a way of dividing. A contrast is a way of identification. A contrast is a help to make a distinguishment about something. So this morning on the first Lord's Day of 2026, we have a choice. And the choice is simply this. Will we live for Christ the Savior, or will we live for self? Will we live for Christ, or will we live for self? The title of today's message is Putting God First in a Backward World. And the more I live in this world, the more I understand it is really messed up. And it's really upside down. It's backwards. Joshua, the great commander of ancient Israel, he demanded the people of Israel, choose. You choose. And he demanded it. And it's in the book. So I think we can say God demanded it. After reminding them all of that God had done for them in the reading of his closing words, you can flip over there and join me. This is not our text, but it's too good to pass up. Joshua 24. These are the closing words of Joshua. Before this great commander, great man of faith, but a military commander who still studied at West Point today. This is what he said before he died. In chapter 24, verse 14, Omri, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in what? In sincerity, not fake, sincerity, and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods of your father served that on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, or the God in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord is our, He is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also, not only you, Joshua, but we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. He, by the way, He alone is our God. Verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, agreement. We agree. We got a compact. We've got an agreement. And they said, we are witnesses. Now, therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and ordinance in Shechem. Now Joshua was somewhere around 98 to 110 years old when he made this charge. Now there's a difference between a 20-year-old buck and a 90-year-old buck. I'll just tell you right now, the two have had a great many different experiences and accumulation of wisdom in their life. He was an old man, but he still had a fire in his belly. And he made this charge, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side. You know, well, he could have mellowed out. He could have just kind of played it easy. He didn't play it easy. He played it straight. He played it straight. Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house. How old is this man? He's an old man. And he still says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This stands in direct contrast of someone who's living for self. Would you agree? Direct contrast. He's living for the Savior. He's not living for self. Now let me give you this, which I think you need. It's my job to give you what I think you need. One writer gave this, quote, it's worth studying the gross human tragedies that happened in the nations that had communism. It may not happen in all of them, but the fact that it happened in so many ought to illustrate how wholly unsustainable the economic and political model is. China had the Great Leap Forward that took place in 1958 to 1962. There are probably a few in here that could actually remember that. And it rivaled the world total of dead people from World War II, all in one country. Upward, many say, of 50 million people died in that communist experiment. The USSR. They've had their programs, among them the Gulag system, Stalin's purges, which many estimate that over 20 million dead under Stalin's rule and purging. 20 million people. Even in smaller countries, you say, well, they're a small communist country. Okay, listen to this. Smaller communist countries like Cambodia. Pol Pot in 4 years, just 4 years, murdered somewhere between 1/5 to 1/4 of the entire country, northward of 2 million people under communism. South Korea today would be governed by the same people who govern North Korea, and with none of its economic miracles or freedoms that it now enjoys. Now, Soviet and Chinese efforts to spread the system worldwide would almost certainly have seen similar tragedies take place in other countries as what has taken place in their very own. So let me be plain about this. Communism leads to godlessness. Communism leads to godlessness. Communism makes government your God. Communism makes government your God. You say, well, I don't think you ought to be preaching about politics. Well, you make it about something else and I'll get on board. But communism makes government your God. And there's only one God. And so I have to stand against it, you see. There's only one God, and that's the God of heaven. Now this nation, the USA, was born and raised on Judeo-Christian values and traditions. Judeo, Jewish, you hear that? Jewish, Christian values. It was not born and not reared or raised on communism or on political Islam. Not at all. This all is a direct contrast. That's what we're talking about today. Contrast with freedom. Freedom, man. Freedom. You better learn how to fight for it. It may be needed again. Now listen carefully. We just had a communist elected to mayor in the largest city of the United States. Just sworn in. Now let me just say this. He had the guff. You know what guff is? He had the guff to co-opt the song Frank Sinatra made famous. New York, New York. Saying, if I can make it there, I can make it anywhere. Well, I got news for Mr. Communist. You couldn't be elected dog catcher in this city. Contrast. We're talking about contrast now. Couldn't be elected dog catcher. Communism is a death sentence for not thousands or tens of thousands. Communism is a death sentence for millions. You better write it down and study your history. You say, well, there's been other tragedies. Yes, but none so great as this. These people say, well, I don't like this. Compared to what? Compared to what? The words communism and freedom stand in contrast to one another. You can't have one and have the other at the same time. They go hand in hand and stand in contrast against one another. They're divided. One stands against the other. By the way, one is bad and the other is good. Let's make a moral clarity. One is bad, it's evil, it's wicked, and the other is good. Mr. Henry years ago said, give me freedom or give me death. That's a pretty serious man. I like serious men. Now, I'm not saying I don't like a good joke. I'm just saying there's a time to be serious, and I like serious men. They know when to be dead serious. And Mr. Henry said, give me freedom or give me death. That's the famous ending of a speech delivered on March 23rd, 1775 at the Second Virginia Convention. So I want you to be careful. I want you to understand. Contrast was determined by God. Distinction is determined by God. Differences, night, day, determined by God. It's a way of dividing. It's a way of identification. It's a way of distinguishing something's good from something that's bad. And we have a culture today, they don't want to say anything is bad. Well, guess what? There's a lot bad. I am asking you today, as your pastor, as your friend, or just as your guest here today, as a preacher of the very Word of God, I'm asking you, on this, the first Lord's Day of 2026, to think soberly, to think spiritually, to think historically, to think wisely, to choose good over evil. Amen. Choose right over wrong. Choose light over darkness in your life. Now, I'm not talking about your husband or your wife. I'm talking about your life. You choose right. You choose righteousness over unrighteousness. I want you to know something. There are no do-overs. There are no do-overs in this life. You don't get to go around again. There are no do-overs. We don't get a second chance at this life. There's no second chance in the sense that if we don't live for God, that we can come back somehow and try again. We do not go around again. When we take our last breath, we're done here on earth. We are done. The Apostle Paul wrote to the carnal church at Corinth, and he said this, "For ye are bought with the price." Now he's talking to believers. He's talking about people who've been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they're saved. He says, "Ye've been bought with the price. Therefore, because you've been bought by Him, by His death, by His blood, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I don't belong to me, see. I belong to the Lord. And if you're saved, you also belong to the Lord. You belong to Him. John, that elder, he wrote in 1 John 2:12, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His namesake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye know Him that is from the beginning." In other words, you know God. "I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." Verse 15 through 17 says, "Love not the world." Now that's just another way of saying self. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Is that not contrast? "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And get this, the world passeth away." If you want to hang on to the oak tree, you go right ahead, but it's going to be burned up. "The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Only one way. The world really does have a backward view of all things. The book, says, "In the beginning, God." But mankind would have us believe, especially these days, "In the beginning, man." And we get to determine whatever we want. Well, of man, God said, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." Isaiah was a stalwart prophet. Listen to what he said. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Friends, that's where we are as people of the nations. That's where we are. Man, it's just totally upside down. But the Bible still says in the book of wisdom, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." It's still true. It was true for our great grandparents. It's true for us today. Isaiah 53 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." See that? Self. "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now I said all that by way of introduction. Now take your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Here we see the very words of the Lord our God. And the issue is about putting God first or putting self first, which is the thesis of our attention today. Verse 25 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your 401k plan." Yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye human beings, all right, not much better than they? Of course so. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet again, contrast, I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he, now listen, not much more clothe you? Shall he not much more take care of you? O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, that's just another way of saying right here that that's what all the lost people think. That's the way they run. That's the way they roll. For your heavenly Father knoweth, of course he knows. He knows all things. He knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first, there's our point, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore, because of that fact, a fact and promise given from the Almighty God, who cannot lie. Take no thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I have 3 points. You should have 3 points, especially on your first sermon on the first Lord's Day of the year. It's somewhere in the Bible. I don't know exactly where, but I'm pretty sure it's in there somewhere. Number one, putting God first is the right and best choice. Amen. I made mention to one of our good young men this morning. Peter said, to whom shall we go? You, Christ, you have the words of life. Where else are we going to go? Where else are we going to turn? Putting God first is the right and best choice. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. Do you think God is a liar? Of all you know about the Almighty God, is God a liar? No. Do you think God does not know what's best for us? I mean, He created humanity. Of course he knows best what's good for us. Do you think our Creator would want to destroy us or to help us and bless us? Verse 30 says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more, much more? How much more? Much more. Say, what does that mean in the Greek? Much. What's it mean in the Hebrew? Mucho. O ye of little faith. This is what Paul wrote to the church. Colossians 1:18, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might, Christ, have the preeminence. First place. Now, I don't know about you, but I will make this political statement. I love the fact that people in this nation will like to see their nation put first, that's governed by their money. It kind of makes pretty good sense to me. All right? I'm not saying we ought not to have a concern about other nations. We should. But I'm in full favor of taking care of home base first. Christ needs to be first in our life. And if you'll make Him first this year, you'll have a great year. Now the Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. First, love the Lord. Number two, putting God and the work of God first is the best choice that you can make. Is the best choice that you can make. Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not just God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, members and guests, self has made the world drunk with foolishness. And there are a lot of drunks walking around. Even influencers. And the world would have you think, even the now kind of pop Christian world especially, I would say, you can live the Christian life apart from church. You can live the Christian life apart from God's ordained work for this age. You don't need organized religion, because that's just the way the world puts it, right? And we understand what they're talking about. What are they saying? You don't need to put the work of God at the top of your life. They're basically saying, you don't need church. He certainly should not put the work of God, the work of His church, first. Without question, that's their position. Yet what does God say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let me give you a little bit of a grocery list that I just decided to write this morning after I got the good news of the little baby. Okay, Devin. I wasn't feeling too good until I got that. I'll just tell you right up, straight up. No, I didn't like that at all. None of us did. Letter A. On the first day of the week, come together, God says, to my house. By the way, I'm not opposed to having other meetings, but a Saturday night meeting is not the Lord's day. Hello? I don't know if you're clearing your throat. That was another way of saying amen, but that was a good place to say amen right there, Brother Kevin. Letter B, on the first day, members of the Lord's church should be especially loving one another. By this you shall know. They shall know that you're my disciples. Yeah. Letter C, on the first day of the week, worship thou me. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Letter D, on the first day of the week, bring ye your tithes and offerings. Oh, Lord, I knew you're going to throw something in there about money. Well, God does. Why shouldn't I? You lift your heads up. It's not time to pray yet. Letter E, on the first day of the week, sing praises unto the Lord our God. Amen. Lift up your voice, right? And sing. Letter F, on the first day of the week, call others to the house of God, highways and byways. Compel them, the Bible says, to come in. Compel them. Letter G, on the first day of the week, pray and seek His face. Letter H, on the first day of the week, rest in the things of the Lord. The principle of the Sabbath. And letter I, now these, I'm just doodling. I could preach a message on every single one of these. On the first day of the week, give yourselves to the gospel ministry. Give yourselves to the gospel ministry. The other day I was preaching the message, and over in Mark, I made reference and I had a couple of comments or questions about that. So I want to hit it again, man. Hit it again. In Mark chapter 10 to 29, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. What's that mean? And the gospel's sake. The work of God's sake. Well, what is the work of God for this age? It's the New Testament church. That's what it is, Bubba. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. My wife says, you ought not to say things like that. People are going to think you're a smoker. Well, years ago I did, but I got in big trouble with my daddy, buddy, and I've never gone back to it since. I promise you that. You say, I can't believe that you were a sinner. Well, so were you. All right, don't be looking down your long nose at me, Bub. My sake and the gospel's. What is that but what we're doing? First, you see that? First. Number three. Man, I got about six more minutes to go. I'm doing great. Putting God and His work first is the best, the right choice for you personally and your families. People say, well, you know, what about self? I mean, where does self come in? And God's economy and God's plan, is self never considered? Oh, no, God's got that. God's got all that taken care of. He says, you just do this first, and I'll take care of all that other stuff that you so often fret about. That's what He says. The things we, God says, you just put me and my work first. And I promise you. Well, who's I? Well, it's the Lord our God. It's the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You get the point? He said, I'll take care of all that. You just take care of putting me and my work first. Well, I can prove it to you. And it's right here in the same text. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 25 again. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now listen, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for the body, what ye shall put on. It's not the life more than meat. And it's talking about your clothes. And body than raiment. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory, and he was decked out, man. I guarantee you, he was decked out in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. You ever seen a beautiful bird, the creatures of God? Now, many hunters only see them dead. And they're not so pretty dead. But when they're alive, you want to talk about some of the most beautiful creatures in all the world. That's why you have so many people bird watching. Listen, if all they would ever see are buzzards, there would be no bird watching. I promise you that. There'd be nobody saying, you can't pay me to go watch a buzzard. But you let all these other birds come into the picture, and you'll just stand there. If they're sitting at a stand or your bird feeder right outside your picture frame window, you know, you'll sit there with your mouth open. Look at that. How beautiful. Look at that. God says, I take care of them. I dress them. I dress them even in such beauty. Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of them. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the people who are upside down. That's the way they think. The Gentiles think. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Does he not know that you need a paycheck, that you need clothes, that you need food, that you need raiment, you need shelter? Does he not know that? He knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, again, driving it home, contrast, therefore take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, what things does God promise if we will put Him and His work first? Food, drink, clothing, and then, to kind of wrap it all up in parentheses, your personal well-being. Let me tell you this. God can take better care of you than you can. God can take better care of me than I can. I promise you that. The Apostle Peter was preaching at Pentecost. And after he preached the gospel, and you can go back and you can check that out all in Acts chapter 2. He cried out this. He says, For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort. Now, exhort's not just a kind little benign little word, a little ditty of encouragement. It's more like what I've done here today. That straightforward stuff, you know. That in-your-face stuff, right? He exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward, in other words, the upside down, the warped generation in which you find yourself. Save yourselves. Save yourselves. Now, I know there's some things in this show that maybe I shouldn't mention. I'm not going to mention that, but I'm going to mention this. Sam Elliott. I like him. I do. I even like his mustache. And it was too bad they took it off in this show. We were soldiers once. Some of you seen that? They were surrounded. And they were about to be overrun. And he grabs his 45, and he's already told the journalist down here, the picture boy, you can't take no pictures lying down there, sonny. Yeah, I love him. I love him. He says, gentlemen, as he cocks that 45, 1911, defend yourselves. What did that boy say earlier? He said, I'm a non-combatant. What did he say? There ain't no such thing today, boy. Now, I like that. You may not, but you're not the one preaching. I'm the one preaching. I like it. And I'm here to tell you, there ain't no such thing today, boy. So I don't like to be called a boy. Then stop acting like a boy and put God first. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Save yourselves. Christians, save yourselves from this untoward generation, this warped generation, this upside down generation. Don't let them seduce you. Don't let them suck you back in to what was your utter destruction before you got saved. Don't let that happen. Do not let that happen. You say, well, I've let it happen before. Well, that's then, and today's now. I'm not much on chick flicks, but I still like that little one of Anne of Green Gables. Today has no mistakes in it, right? The sun's going to come up, and it's up today. This day, the Lord, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Here's what the Lord promises. A great verse. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold. Now, it doesn't just end there. There's a condition. No good thing will He withhold. Now, pop Christianity would have to say, would have you believe. It doesn't matter how you live. You just go and live like the devil all you want. It's okay. You want to smoke dope? You just go right ahead. You want to do the? Just go right ahead. God will forgive you. And they always seem to go to an effeminate voice. Yuck. No good thing will He withhold. You believe God can lie? I don't believe God can lie. He promised, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. There it is. Now, that's a contrast. No good thing will He withhold from those who seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Is that not what the book said? Was I faithful to tell you what the book said? Now, what are you going to do with it? See, this part up to now is up to me. Now, it's in your court. What are you going to do about it? Well, Clyde Snow, years ago, who died a good and a faithful man. He didn't live all of his life a good and faithful man, but he died a good and faithful man. And he asked me, how would a man go about putting his life in order? Right here. You say, well, I've ripped my britches. I've made a fool of myself on more occasions. So have I. So have I. But that was yesterday. And today's a new day. And I'm asking you, I'm challenging you straight up. What are you going to do about this? This is the first Lord's Day of this year, 2026. Will you have the moral courage in your heart? You say, well, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. Will you have the moral courage to say, like Joshua said, even old man, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Boy, that's a great place to be. And if we'll do that, this will be a great year. And we have His word on it. Let's stand for prayer.